Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We want to take just a moment and invite you to come be with us in any or all of our services. We have Sunday morning Sunday school at 10 a.m. for all ages, 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6, every Wednesday night at 7. We have our midweek prayer and Bible study, lots of opportunities. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and we'd love for you to come, and we'd do our best to make you feel at home and make you feel welcome. But this is, as we've already said, the Blessings of Liberty, and that just has a nice ring to it. I don't think I've explained in a while that that is from the preamble to the Constitution. And the preamble to the Constitution begins, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, that means our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So, blessings of liberty. We're going to talk about this just a little bit today, but before we do that, I'm going to say good morning to Noah. He's a great guy. He gave me his last Halls cough drop, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
How are you?
Glad to do it. I'm doing well.
I'm sorry you're going to suffer now, but
yeah,
at least
I might sound a little rough today. That's why. But it is good to be here. We do want to say welcome to all those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Say welcome to those listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and it's not that we're sick. I don't know. I thought I was going to get by this fall without allergies. Usually I get it in the fall, but all of a sudden, I don't know, it just, and everybody, seems like Sunday at church, everybody was sneezing, and I think it's just allergies. A lot of people had talked about raking leaves, and that had got them started. And we cleaned the garden off, all the corn husk and everything the other day, and that night it just hit me, and it's been ever since. Anyway, that's just part of life, but it is good to be here today. And we are in the midst of a series entitled What I Can Do for My Country. I look back today, and we started this on August the 18th. So that's been a couple of months plus a couple of weeks, somewhere right around in there. 8 or 10 weeks we've been looking at the subject, what I can do for my country. And we talked first of all about how we needed to pray, and we're talking about things from the Bible, from a Bible aspect. We can pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, first of all, that we're to pray for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We spent several weeks on the subject of prayer. Then we said that what we can do for our country, we can get the gospel out. The Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this past Sunday at Mount Lebanon, we had a missions emphasis Sunday, and we talked about the purpose of the church is to get the gospel out. And if we're not getting the gospel out, we're like a donut shop that doesn't sell donuts. What are you there for? What's your purpose? Our purpose is to get the gospel out. As we get the gospel out, what happens is changed hearts, changed lives, changed minds. And so we're to get the gospel out. That'll benefit our country. Then we talked for a few weeks about the church, and we talked about the church from a biblical standpoint, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, what is a model church. Then we talked about the church from a historical standpoint, And we gave the example of why the Bible Belt is the Bible Belt, and the influence and the impact of the churches, the local churches. We're not talking about a denominational headquarters. We're not talking about a headquarters somewhere in some state, but we're talking about the little local independent churches preaching the gospel, working in the community, doing what they can to make the place where they are a better place. And we'd have to be honest today, most churches are interested in making their community, their place where they are, their state, their country, a better place. And so we talked about historically. And by the way, churches are still being started in America. Now, there's quite a few in the South, but as you go west, you'll find that there are some places that they don't have very many churches. There's a lot of towns out west. And one of our missionaries on Sunday talked about his son is a missionary. Well, Brother Lamar, who we're on KPGT, FM, 89.1 FM, The Truth, there in Watertown, South Dakota, a lot of the surrounding communities and places do not have a local church. So they're starting Bible studies with a end of starting a church in a community that does not have a church of any kind. And so churches are still being started. What a blessing that is. And Brother Lamar's father, Brother Dwayne, and Sister Faye, that's who was with us last Sunday. We just had a great time. And we thank the Lord for that. But we're talking about churches still being started in America. There's still a need. Today, we're going to go to Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. What I can do for my country. And we're going to talk about what kind of citizen we ought to be. A model citizen according to the Bible. What should we do? Should I join a party and vote for that party no matter what and be loyal to them? Should I start a petition? Should I write the White House or the Congress, write my senator, run for office? What is the job? What do we do as far as being a good citizen that would be a benefit and a blessing to our country? Well, Romans chapter 13 has to deal with that. And we're just going to begin by reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." There's a period there. "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, we're going to go on further in these verses. It has a great deal to say along these lines, but we're just going to start there in chapter 13, verse number 1. This is a passage that is dealing with citizenship and what the Bible has to say about the Christian and civil government. So that has to do with our relationship to the government. What does the Bible say? How are we supposed to act, react? What part are we supposed to play? The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And by way of introduction, I want to give just a little bit of a context. Any verse in the Bible, and this is just by way of interpreting the Bible or understanding the Bible, you have to understand that you could take anything in the Bible and take it out of its context, its proper context, and make the Bible say anything you wanted to. In fact, I could say, just by way of example, I could say, do you know the Bible says there is no God? Yeah, it does. It really does. The Bible says there's no God. The Bible does say there is no God. But I am taking that out of its proper context. Psalms chapter 14, verse number 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So you see, there's a good example of taking something out of its proper context. You have to understand the context in order to understand the passage of Scripture and what it is talking about. And you always want to, when you're studying the Bible, you always want to ask the question or find the answer to this. Who is talking? Who is being talked to? What are they talking about? Where are they talking? You know, find out the setting of it and you'll understand it better. Now, the book of Romans, guess who that's written to? Who who is the book of Romans written to? The Romans. There's a lot of things that are not hard to understand about the Bible. And I remember being a little boy and going to church, and when the book of Romans would be mentioned, what comes to my mind is a picture of a Roman soldier, and he's got the helmet on and maybe the fuzzy feather going across the top of it. You know, he's got a spear and a sword and a shield and all that. That just comes to my mind. Well, the book of Romans is written to the Romans. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." So he is writing to Christians that are living in the city of Rome, the Roman Empire. If you read the book of Romans, or a very interesting chapter is the last chapter, chapter number 16, and it's sort of a farewell. This is the end of the book. And he's talking about a whole lot of different people. But in chapter 16, verse 14, and verse number 15, he mentions several people to salute, which means when you talk to them, tell them hello. That's the way we would say it. When you see so-and-so, tell them I said hi. Salute them. And he said in verse 14, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philogelus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. And if you were to study out those names are Roman names, Roman citizens. Olympus, so where do the Olympics come from? Julia, they worshipped these Roman false gods, and many of them were named after them. And so you find that the book of Romans was written to Christians living in Rome underneath the rule of the Roman Empire. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison in Rome. And so he ended up in Rome, and he wrote Philippians. He also wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy from a prison cell. And the Bible said in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, he said, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." So Paul ended up in prison in Rome. And while he was in prison in Rome, he still carried the gospel. He was still a witness. He still tried to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And evidently he was successful, because there was people in Rome that he called them brethren. And he said, "They of Caesar's household salute you." So there was even people in Caesar's household, in Caesar's government, that had become Christians and brethren with the Apostle Paul. Now, you have to remember that Paul was in prison at the hands of the Roman government. Paul knew what it was to be persecuted, and eventually the Apostle Paul was put to death by the Roman government. The Roman government at that time was Antichrist. And what I mean in saying that is just this: they were against Christ. They were against Paul. They were against the early Christians. They were against the early apostles. They persecuted them. They outlawed them. They hunted them down. They put them in prison. They put them to death. They were a heathen society, just meaning they were anti-God. They worshiped many gods. They were idolaters. And they were against the early Christians and the churches. Yet, now this, I'm still talking about the context of this. Yet, in spite of all of that, Paul writes to the Romans and says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And so he's writing that every soul would be subject unto the higher powers. And he's living under the influence and the power of a Roman government that is actually persecuting him and eventually going to put him to death. And so that's the context of the book of Romans. Now, one more thing about the book of Romans. Romans is chapter 1 through 11 is primarily doctrinal, and beginning in chapter 12 through chapter number 16 is practical advice. So chapters 1 through 11, how to believe right. Chapters 12 through 16, how to live right. How to live right. And from chapter 13, verse number 1, and I knew in studying this subject what I can do for my country that I eventually wanted to deal with this passage of Scripture and what the Bible begins to talk about in verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Well, from studying the Bible, I know that chapter number 12 begins a section about practical, holy living. So I just go back into chapter number 12, the very last verse, verse number 21. This is the verse right above, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. The verse directly above that says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I just begin to think about that. You know, that applies as a citizen as well. So maybe I shouldn't start in chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going backwards now. I'm reading up through the verses. The verse before that says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Well, that could certainly apply, especially in the case of the Apostle Paul. The Roman government has him in prison. The Roman government is going to put him to death. And yet Paul says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. I go back. I read the verse before that. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so that applies as well. The verse before that, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That applies as being a good citizen. So what I'm saying is, we're going to back up to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that's really where you have to begin if you're going to understand what the Bible is saying when it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. You really have to begin in chapter number 12. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we only have time to say just a little bit about that. A year or two ago, I preached two or three messages out of these two verses. It would take a long time for me to get down through the whole of chapter number 12, but I would encourage you to read that. It'll help you to understand when we get to chapter number 13, what he's talking about being subject unto the higher powers. But you'll never understand chapter 13 without understanding at least a little bit about chapter 12. And if I want to help my country and do so by being a model citizen, then I have to begin in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The first thing we learn in chapter 12, verse number 1, is that we're talking about somebody that is dedicated first of all, to the Lord. Now let's read that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if we want to be a model citizen, if I want to be a model citizen, first of all, I need to be dedicated to the Lord. My allegiance, my first allegiance, is to be to the Lord. This is how I'm going to be a model citizen. This is how I can most benefit my country, is if I personally have dedicated my life unto the Lord, presenting my body a living sacrifice. My number one allegiance is not to Caesar. My number one allegiance as an American is not to the Democratic Party. It is not to the Republican Party or the Green Party or to any leader, although I may like or not like them very much as a leader, but my first allegiance is to be to God. Then in verse number 2, there's a few things over there. He said, and be not conformed to this world. If I want to be the best citizen that I can, I am not to be conformed to the world. I should not be a carbon copy of the world. And there's a lot of carbon copy, and some of you may not know what carbon was, but used to, that's how you made a copy, put a piece of carbon paper in between. It'd write on both of them. But we're not to be made in the image of this world. We're to be different from the world. Be not conformed to this world. Then it goes on and it says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the last thing the political powers that be, the last thing they want is for their citizens to think for themselves. The political parties do not want you to think for yourself. They don't want you to have a transformed mind. They don't want you to think thoughts after God. They don't want you to think thoughts after the Bible. They do not want you to think for yourselves. They do not want you to ask questions. They want you to think after them. They want you to agree with them. They want you to support them. They want you to send money to them. They want you to vote for them. They want you to put their bumper stickers on your car and their signs in your yard. And they want you to toe the party line. They don't want you to say, we want a candidate that stands for this and this and this. They want you to say, they want to come along and say, okay, here's who you've got a choice to vote for. You're going to vote for this one or that one. And they're going to put money behind one or the other, but nobody else. They do not want a citizenry that thinks for themselves. They want somebody that'll just obey, that'll just follow them along and be little parrots for them. But the model citizen is going to be different. It's not going to just go along with everything and anything. The model citizen is going to have a transformed mind. They're going to be different. They're going to be different in their actions. They're going to think different. And the result, now this is a good result in verse number 2. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to know what the will of God is? People say, what's the answer for our economic troubles? Well, I don't think there's a politician out there that's got the right answer. Who do we need to be the next president of the United States? Does any of them sound good or look good to you? What's the will of God concerning this? If we would give our lives to the Lord, be renewed, as the Bible says in verse number 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, we could find out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A good example from history, and one of my favorite people to read after, to study after, is Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was a very devoted Christian. He had been trained by a minister growing up, and he was very serious about what the Bible had to say. He was a very serious Bible student. Patrick Henry, he made the famous speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." And Patrick Henry did not fit into the mold of his day. He was a good way to put it would be a renegade. He didn't fit into his denomination. He was a Presbyterian. He did not fit into the mold of the politics of his day. See, when he gave the speech, "Give me liberty or give me death," that was based on what the Bible had to say. In fact, I have studied that speech and read it many times. I think, if I remember correctly, there are I'm not going to say that, but there's a lot. I'm just going to say there's a lot of places in that that have been lifted directly from the Bible. Phrases, little phrases that he refers to. That speech, give me liberty or give me death, and it's a very short speech, is full of biblical reference. But he didn't fit into the politics of his day. In fact, when he gave that speech, there was a stunned silence in the room. And they, the people in the room, they were not thinking like Patrick Henry was. Patrick Henry was thinking, give me liberty or give me death. This is God's will, that we be free, that we have liberty. The people in the room, his contemporaries, all that they could think about is, this is treasonous. He is speaking against the king, and we're all going to be arrested and put in jail if we say amen or if we say we agree with that. He was not cut out of the mold of his day. His mind had been transformed. He had seen something, that there was a power greater than the king. There was a liberty of conscience greater than what the king was able to give, and it came from God. I'm just saying that Patrick Henry did not fit into the mold of his day. He did not toe the party line. His thinking was leaps and bounds beyond most of his contemporaries. He had ideas about religious freedom. He had ideas about liberty of conscience that most of them did not have. Why? Because he was a model citizen. He was a good citizen. He was a dedicated Christian. He got his idea about freedom from the Word of God. Now, let's go back to chapter 13, verse 1 quickly. Our time is going to get gone. In light of all of that, that the Apostle Paul is writing from prison, or not at this time, but later on, he was arrested. He never changed his mind on this. In light of the Roman government and that they were antichrist, that they were against God. That's what I'm saying when I say anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-gospel. Still, Paul writes, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Contrary to what most people believe concerning this verse, this is not a blanket command just to obey. Just to obey whatever the court says, whatever the president says, whatever the congressman says, whatever the magistrate says, whatever the, you fill in the blank right there. This is not a blanket command just to obey. If you'll see this one thing, it'll revolutionize your way of thinking concerning our leaders from the president right on down. Here's what it is. When it is talking in chapter 13, verse number 1, about the higher powers, the higher powers are not people. This is not people that it's talking about. Rather, it is talking about laws, the laws of the land. And that's where we're going to pick up beginning next week. We're going to talk about the Constitution. Do you know the Constitution is, according to the Constitution, the supreme law of the land? The higher powers are not talking about people. It's talking about our laws. And it applies to every soul. Let every soul, that means the president right on down, be subject unto the higher powers, the laws of the land. If we're just supposed to obey people, then that would mean that they made the law. But we're to follow the law of the land, the higher powers. Well, time is quickly coming and gone. Noah's going to come and give our contact information. We appreciate you listening in today. Hope you have a good rest of the day. And have a great day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.